following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Hey everybody, I'm Michael.
And I'm Emily.
And we're your Real Debaters. Welcome to Where the Art of Cinema Meets the Power of Debate. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. Emily, it's been too long.
That was a really nice intro. I really enjoy it.
It's
a new one, yeah.
We're cutting right to the chase.
I like how we're getting rid of the ladies and gentlemen and we're just doing everyone.
Yes.
Hello,
yes.
Because I am not a lady.
Yeah, and nor am I a gentleman. We're common folk over here.
Just ask my mom.
Yeah, no kidding. Jury's still out over here when I'm going to grow up and be a big boy. But thank you for tuning into another episode, listener. If you're new, thank you for taking a chance on us. We appreciate it. This week on the show, this is all about Adam Sandler.
You know what? It's an interesting conversation. I did not expect the topic of Adam Sandler to spark quite as much controversy as it did, but people have opinions.
Which is how Adam Sandler drums up so much fucking controversy, because he can do drama, he can do serious, and he can be funny.
Well, I'm excited to talk about it.
So am I. So Adam Sandler is our segment. We're going to talk about how we met him on screen. I think both of us are SNL, probably somewhat mm-hmm. adjacent. First movies, his cultural effect on comedy, and a bunch of other things. And we're also going to do some news, and we're also going to give you a review. But before we get into it, let's talk about us for a second.
Us?
We have some stuff coming up. First of all, I want to thank everybody who came out to Scott Pilgrim Bingo and Trivia at the Handsome Daughter this past week. We had a lot of fun. You guys won some prizes. So thank you to you guys for coming out. We're going to do another one. Stay tuned. Subscribe. Follow the socials. You know what to do. March 15th is the new trivia night. There was a calendar issue at Little Brown Jugs, so we have switched to March 15th, 7 p.m. Unfortunately, Emily is a world traveler now with her adult job, the stuff we do outside of here that pays for the mortgage.
I also play a child's game. Let's be clear. There's two things keeping me away. One is a grown-up job, and one is an elementary school game for children.
Yeah, but both of them have their perks.
Yes, and they both equally keep me away from real debater things.
There you go. Well, that's fine. That's why we make time.
Yeah.
Right? We figure it out, right? So unfortunately, Emily won't be there, but her questions will be. So we will find someone to proxy for you.
And I want to tell everybody, I thought long and hard about these questions. They are near and dear to my heart. This theme was women in film, and mine was comedy. And
women of comedy.
Holy moly, do I ever love it. So I had so much fun writing them. I didn't buy or steal or anything, any of them. They're all from the heart.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and they were all ones that I knew the answer to. I didn't have to look them up.
I learned my lesson buying, because if you were at our last trivia night, you saw that some of them still had the answers in them. And that's how we're fun here at The Real Debaters. We like to give everybody a point sometimes.
And I tested them on some of my friends, and I feel like they, you know, it was good. I think the average was about like 6 out of 10. So enough that you can be successful, but not so much that it's easy. So I'm looking forward to that.
I think we weight them well. I think we have some real humdingers. And then we have some like real softball underhand pitched kind of questions.
Yeah, so. I mean, if you were really coming of age in the 90s and the aughts, then you're going to kick butt in
exactly.
these ones.
So, and hers was comedy, mine is action, Jimmy's is horror. Jimmy's wrote it in pencil, thank God. So we can take an eraser to some of those and help with some hints. He told me that
Jimmy's got some deep cuts, I'm sure.
Jimmy's got some deep cuts. Like, and rightly so, punny because it's horror. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, let's give a little bit to the audience here, James. So, but we've got leading ladies of horror, leading ladies of action, leading ladies of comedy, and then a mixed nuts round we're going to come up with. We're going to have some random questions from every other genre out there. Very female forward. Really? Anyways, the right date is March 15th, 7 p.m. Eventbrite is where the tickets will be. Search Real Debaters Trivia Night number 5. So we're going to do thousands of these. Really good beer, really good snacks, really good time. We have fun, right?
Yeah, Little Brown Jug is great.
It's
a really
great.
Nice venue. I really enjoyed our last venue. For those of you who came out, thanks for coming out to Rudy's to eat and drink. That was delightful. The venue was great. The food was delicious.
Right?
Boy, oh boy, did we have fun.
And we're going to do more there. Like, these seem to be the two places that have welcomed us and aren't, you know, are crazy enough to let us do stuff out in their spaces. And we thank them hugely for that. But these are the two places that like have really good rooms and really good food and really good beer, like you said. So follow us, man, if you want to know more about it. And then March 23rd, C4 The original Comic-Con for a lot of people here in Winnipeg. This is the one I used to go to. Did you go to this one?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't been to this one in a long time. But it's
there was some issues, like personal issues with the guy who ran it before. I think he's from Cobra Collectibles. Anyways, he's giving the torch over to Mark at String Bean. Mark from the show, Mark Cowell, with String Bean Comics.
Our friend Mark?
Oh, our very good friend Mark.
What a coincidence.
Right? And when he was like, maybe the real debaters, to me, he said this, maybe the real debaters would like to show up. And I was like, yeah, dude, we'll come.
Special guest stars,
yeah,
the real
like,
debaters.
Just give us a table somewhere in the lobby and let us introduce ourselves to people as they walk in. Like, we'll dance.
Certainly we need no introduction.
No.
Everyone knows who we are
exactly.
by now, don't they? But you know what? Winnipeg's a small town.
It is.
We'll get them all sooner or later.
Yeah, we'll get you in our web. But yeah, March 23rd, we're going to be at C4 Comic-Con at the Kubota Center, 1055 Wilkes. That is a community con. It's a smaller one. There's not going to be any big panels or special guests or anything like that.
Special guests, real debaters.
Well, yes. Okay, you can toot the horn.
Yeah.
But, like, this is for the collector. This is for the comic book nerd. This is for the Winnipeg jam where everybody kind of knows everybody. Like you said, it's a small city, so there's a small comic book community. Go support it. Mark really wants to take this and run with it through String Bean Comics. All the tables are sold out. So there's going to be a lot of people there. There's going to be a lot of stuff to sell and like collectibles. Like your fucking bio picture, Emily, is you dressed up as Boba Fett with a Grogu.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who is that? Is that deepfake?
Yeah, exactly. No, that was actually photographed by our another one of our good friends, Charles.
Oh, Charles Fernandez from the Real Debaters?
Charles Fernandez from the Real Debaters. I hear he might be at C4 Comic-Con.
Yeah, he might be there as well doing something. Like,
I thought he was just going to be with us.
Well, he'll be with us. But I think he also wanted to do a thing. I think he's got some art that he might be selling.
He's always doing things. Yeah. He's a thing newer,
spinning
that guy.
Spinning many plates, that dude is.
Yep.
While in school, never mind. So, yeah, March 23rd, 10 to 6 is the run time. We'll probably be there between 12 to 4. We'll iron that date out once we get closer. But if you see us podcasting and talking, we're talking about collectibles and comic books. Mark will be running around most of the day, but he'll probably jump on. And if you want to talk about your collectibles, your purchases, all that cool stuff that goes on at a con, come over and talk to us. We're community like-minded people. We're friendly. We shower.
Bring your Real Debaters gear and I'll sign it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you've got some.
Bring your shirt. Definitely. I saw somebody wearing a Real Debaters Emily shirt.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was somebody I knew, but it was cool.
And it's a good shirt. We have a whole Mass Debater line, which if you want to go check that out, the link in the show notes and the link in our bio and on our social media, you can go check out some cool prop shop shit. Anyway, so that's all the stuff. March 23rd, March 15th. Thank you for everybody coming out. We've done all the adult stuff. Let's step off this mobile club. What'd you watch this week?
Oh, well, okay, I'm kind of in between shows right now, and I really love TV. Like, TV is
Who
my...
are you cheating on?
Yeah, right. TV is my jam, and so I do like to watch movies, but I usually watch them with Dan. Dan and I don't get to see each other too much anymore. He's traveling a lot, and so am I. So we're saving up our movies for when we're back in the same...
Oh, how sweet.
I know, right? But in the meantime, I get to watch all the crap that I want to watch that I don't have time for normally.
Oh,
so,
dear God.
So I've dove back into the depths of reality TV vault. I've been watching Love Island. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Love Island, this originated
who isn't at this
originated
point?
In the UK. And I am watching the UK version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On Hayu.
Yes,
yeah.
Shauna just got the 14-day trial.
Yeah, I got the 14-day trial, which turned into like a 3-month subscription. I've been watching it constantly. And I don't know why this show, it must run every day in the summer, right? In the UK, like on television, because there's like 58 episodes. It's ridiculous. Anyway, but I can't stop watching it. And I just watch it and watch it and watch it. My brain leaks out my ears. And I buy 47 new bikinis. And I like, and I take on an English accent and I tell people to crack on and, you know, that they have good chat and things like that. But yeah, I've been watching that.
So it's, you're like those accent adopters.
Yeah. You know what?
When you go to a place for too long, you're like, oi.
I think I just really want to fit in.
Yeah.
With whoever I'm around.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So I adopt the traits
the lingo,
of those people.
The culture.
And so because I'm not seeing anyone because I work from home and all I do is watch TV, so now the people I'm trying to fit in with are like fictional friends on the television. And so it's not a good vibe.
Is someone going cuckoo over there?
Maybe a little bit. But so I've been watching that. And then
what's the most shocking thing on it?
Oh, God, nothing is shocking about it. Like, what's shocking?
Are you desensitized?
I think what the most shocking thing about it is, like, how I see them eat. I know that they are eating, but like my brain
But are they
knows,
keeping it down?
My brain knows that you cannot eat food and also look like that they do at the same time. So
yeah,
that's
no, not happening.
That's what's shocking to me. The science behind like their metabolisms is shocking.
Well, I mean, Ozempic for all. First of all,
I think this was pre-Ozempic.
Was.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, like there is one, they're out now, but this one, I think this was like 2021 or something like that.
Like, is this, isn't the one where you get to see each other like naked instantly, right? Because I'm sorry, I'm not well versed with,
no.
Like there's another UK show where like they show your feet and then they show your knees.
Oh my God, I forgot about
and
that one.
And then they
one.
Show your shit.
That was like the dating nude or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make, it's
love,
not that.
Naked love. No, it's not that. It's
naked
like,
lunch.
Naked lunch. No. It's like all these ridiculously sexy people go to an island and they're looking for love. And
in
then,
all the wrong places.
And then they just like throw new people on and they're like test their relationships because they've been together for like 3 days. And so like.
So these are couples.
No, they're not couples when they get to the island. They're like couple, but they couple up.
And then someone comes in.
And then they all get offended that like, they're like, oh, you went off and like explored your connection with this person. It's like literally the point of the, I don't understand, but that's okay. I don't have to understand. I just have to enjoy. And
that's right.
And I do.
I have a problem now that you watch this and I'll tell you why, because my circle of how wide Love Island used to be is getting very, very small and everyone around me is watching it and it's going to get to the point where I'm going to fucking cave.
And the problem is they're 58 episode seasons, so it's like not small. Oh yeah, no.
What?
Like in England, I'm pretty sure they just all summer they have an episode every day all summer long.
Well, yeah, okay, so 90 days, 52 episodes. You can take a couple breaks in between.
It's nutso. And I don't know, but I think it just is literally like their whole lives. But anyway, this is just getting me through because we're almost.
Yeah.
It's the time of year that is a couple of excellent things. One, it's my birthday coming up. And
happy pre-birthday.
Thank you very much. And what comes in line with my birthday are two things. The first, Big Brother Canada always comes out right around my birthday. And the second is that the F1 season starts.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Yes. So the first F1 race is this weekend, Bahrain. They race Bahrain this weekend. And Big Brother Canada actually starts on my birthday this year, so on Wednesday.
Can I tell you another thing to kind of just stack it up against
Survivor?
All
I know. Oh, tonight.
Tonight.
I knew Survivor was starting right away, too.
Yeah.
I try. Survivor can start at different times. I don't think of Survivor as a birthday present to me specifically.
Okay.
I do think of
Big Brother
Canada as a birthday present to me specifically.
Happy birthday, Emily.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a house full of
from
idiots.
From CBC. Or not CBC, I guess. CTV
or
whatever.
Or whatever the fuck it is.
Thank you, Arissa Cox. I see you and I appreciate you.
I love that. The only time I talk about reality television on the show is with you.
You know,
like it doesn't like Jimmy likes it too. Martin and Charles don't, but you and like this is where I can get this shit out.
It's a big part of my life. I really enjoy it, and I also am going to go on record right now saying if you don't like reality TV, you're lying.
Oh yeah,
get over yourself. It's fun.
Well, I think the problem on the nose is that everyone assumes it's like the big three or the big five. Like I like reality television. You watch the Kardashians? No, I watch Food Network. You fucking moron.
Yeah, no, like, I watch like Chopped.
Yeah,
yeah.
I watch Tournament of Fucking Champions.
Yeah,
right, and
100%.
I'm watching shows that have a competition that are showcasing talent and people. I mean, it's
or really hot people in bikinis and little
you.
Tiny shorts.
That's you. And that's
That'll
fine.
Be you too soon.
Kelly and Chad watch it, and they tell us all about it. And I'm just like, dude, I'm gonna zone out now.
It's so fun.
Speaking
so
of Hayu, or actually, hang on before we get there. How many itty bitty teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikinis do you give it?
Like honestly, if I'm gonna be honest, it's a terrible show. It's gonna be like two, but like 2 out of 10.
But for your enjoyment, what do you
God,
get?
It's an 8. It's an 8, a
oh,
solid
it's up there.
8. Oh, I actually thought of something I really did watch that I'll go quick.
Sure.
The kids wanted to watch this with me, and so we had been watching Owl House, which I talked about previously.
Okay,
we
okay.
finished that. And then we started watching something called Spy Family, which is is an anime show.
Okay.
And that was on another one of those like try this free trial thing. It's on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, that's anime, right?
Yeah, it's like, anime, yep, and yep. It's about a little girl who can read minds, and she gets adopted by a spy who's on a mission,
oh,
and
sweet.
he like pulls in an assassin to be like his wife, but like the assassin doesn't know that he's a spy. The spy doesn't know that she's an assassin, but the kid can read all of their minds, so she
Holy
knows everything.
Shit.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's a really cute little show. And so the kids love it. It's been a lot of fun to watch. I think there's about three seasons of it. I'm really enjoying that.
Is it our side or is it the other side? Like, is it more anime or is it more like Nickelodeon? I guess.
Oh, it's definitely anime.
Anime.
Fully
okay.
anime. It's a really yeah. weird show. And it's a lot of fun.
Martin watches a lot of Crunchyroll too. He swears
yeah.
by it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've been really enjoying it, watching it with the kids. And I'm always down for like something that is enjoyable that I can also watch with the kiddos. So
what are you saving for Dan? What are you guys saving right now that you're like Aquaman just hit Crave.
We actually watched that.
Really?
We did. Yeah, it was fun.
How did you come out the end? How did you come out the other side of that?
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I fell asleep. I think we didn't finish it.
Shocking.
Yeah. He might have finished it, so I'll let him talk about it.
All right.
We have a couple on there. I think we've got a couple horrors that we're waiting to watch.
Okay.
And we have four passes to a movie that we haven't been to see yet. So like maybe
Ooh.
Maybe we'll go see Dune.
You do the Dune.
Do the Dune.
Do the proper Dune.
Although,
I know you were like, I'm going to wait until it's on home release. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. But Rob didn't think that.
I know. Rob did not hold back.
Rob's like, it's made for IMAX,
like,
bitch.
Yeah. Listen, guys, I like to watch movies in my pajamas. I like to be able to pause it so I can pee. I like to be able to like, you know, stretch and fart and
yeah, no.
talk.
Well,
and
wait, you can do a couple of those things in the theater.
I guess I have short legs.
You
I can
have
stretch.
No regard for your fellow human.
I just like being at home and being comfortable.
I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. I'm now like, there are the movies that you know everybody goes to the theater, and I mean theater's my church. I'm there 80% of the time when stuff comes up. But there's also stuff where I'll be like, yeah, I can wait.
It's hard to get me to the theater now. Like it's pretty tough. But I do. Like
How would the movie theaters win you back? Because you're the audience member that they want.
I don't know. It would have to be cheaper. It has to be more affordable. It would have to be.
That's huge. Yeah. No, yeah. I get it. I totally get it.
It would have to be more affordable. I would have to.
The family there because the family money's big money. But yet, how much is popcorn? Fuck off.
Yeah. Like if we go out as a family to the movies, like the four of us, it's easily over $100.
I was
easily
gonna say, 100 for sure.
And so that's ridiculous. And so yeah, I like the idea of being able to reserve my seats. That's important.
Yep.
A little bit more leg room, somewhere that I could like lean back and put my feet up. I'd pay more for that probably.
Sure. Yeah.
And then but yeah, like just more affordable pricing for families. Like if I go
like there's no one saying that popcorn can't be more than what popcorn's worth, but popcorn should probably be about $6.
Yeah, you know, if
like
I
for
could,
extra large, we should be talking $6 for.
If I could toss $50 at Cineplex or whatever, and all four of us could go see a movie and have snacks,
yeah,
I would do it every weekend.
Okay, there you go. So it's that it's the man, it's the corporate man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not every weekend. Okay, well, maybe
probably once or twice a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
For sure.
There's some data for you fuckers out
especially
there.
In the wintertime. Maybe not in the summer, but in the wintertime for sure.
What I watch. Okay. What do you want to hear? You want to hear about Argyle or you want to hear about Saltburn?
Oh, I loved Saltburn. Actually, I have feelings about Saltburn. I want to hear about both, though.
I want to hear your
thoughts about Saltburn because I have thoughts about Saltburn, too.
Okay. So we'll save Saltburn. So Argyle, stick to the Kinsman, everybody. The Kinsman jackpot bingo. That was the Kinsman jackpot bingo moment of the show. Stick to the Kingsman or the Kingsman.
Yeah.
This is like a Harlequin love novel trying to be a funny romantic spy comedy. And the only redeeming quality is Sam Rockwell dancing. Like that's it's this outlandish idea of what happens if a famous spy writing novelist writes what's actually happening in the world of spy and espionage. And she ends up writing a plot that really does go down. And then both sides, the CIA and this underground secret spy agency, are like, we need her to write our next plan.
That sounds amazing.
It is. You'd think so in reality. And like, I just want to say before everyone jumps on me is that I love Bryce Dallas Howard and what she did for The Mandalorian. I love what she does behind the director's chair. It is fantastic shit, but I think she might want to stay there.
Ooh.
It was
spicy.
Hard to watch her because it just feels it feels like the left brain, right brain stuff. Like, you know how somebody it's like directing and acting in the same thing. How can you do both really well?
Yeah, it's like if you your team will excel if you have a coach or a captain, but like you don't want your coach to be a player coach because then that player probably is split focus.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying is that like you had Mandalorian, you've had Star Wars, you've been involved in the biggest project of Disney.
Yeah, some of the best things that have been produced in our
right
like in recent like memory. Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps with the shit that she did. I just think one or the other. Right, because
I don't Google this.
Yeah, I mean, Henry Cavill's haircut's fantastic. Sam Rockwell's a fun spy. It's what's that movie with Cameron Diaz and Tom Cruise where they like she gets captured by him and he's like, "I'm really a spy," and she's like, "You're just fucking with me," and it takes place on a tropical island. It's you're yelling at me right now, I can hear it, listener. But like, yeah, it's
Dua Lipa's in it.
Dua Lipa's in it for about 4 minutes. Dua Lipa doesn't stick around long. Dua Lipa is in it to get her SAG card. Like I think she had 6 lines. That was
it. Pretty cool though. That's
Oh, she's fun in it. Like she's
Bryce Dallas Howard. I always think of her episode of Black Mirror, which was so good.
Oh, it was amazing.
So good. Yeah.
Right? Like watching her try to succeed
like get everybody,
in yeah, right?
Like, yeah.
Everyone like me in lifetime.
Yeah.
Not just trying, but like the world's watching.
Yeah. Like let me do this thing, get immediate positive feedback.
I wanted to like Matthew Vaughn and what he did with Argyle, but and then like Samuel L. Jackson is in it and it just feels forced. Like it just feels clunky. It doesn't feel like what I liked in The Kingsman, which were like big epic spy adventures with
night
like,
and day.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But night with a K.
Knight.
Knight.
Knight and day.
For you Knight people. Yeah, it just it you know what? It's been slow at church. It's been the dump months. It's the part of Hollywood where it's like, just put this out in March and February and nobody, like maybe someone will go, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. Like Dune's the big one.
Yeah.
Right? Like think in the last 4 months.
Even your description of it though, still, even though you're saying it was bad, I still want to see it. I don't know why.
Watch it. Like I'm not saying I walked out of there being like, fucking fuck. I walked out of there being like, I had way more fun in The Kingsman. And I had so much fun that I was forgiving of all the stupid tropes and all the overdone shit.
Because well, Kingsman is full of tropes. That's part of the fun.
Well, and then I loved the sequel, too, where we had, like, the American side.
Yeah.
And then we had the British side.
It's like Oxford's not Brooks.
And then the King... and the King's Man, where we get Rasputin.
Yeah.
And, like, the birth of it. I'm there for those all the time. I've watched them multiple times.
It's funny. My mom's in love with those movies. Like, it's so funny. They're
good.
Yeah, I know.
They're good popcorn shit.
They are. I enjoy it.
This one just felt like it was trying to be King's Man, and it wasn't.
And it was just missing.
It was just missing.
Ah, bummer.
And there's a ice skating scene on oil that makes absolutely no sense in the third act that, like, takes a whole song to complete. She's doing it. It's weird. You don't even know why they're on an oil tanker in the middle of the water. Like,
I feel like I love it already.
Yeah, you probably will.
It seems weird, and I think I love weird shit. That sounds great to me. Okay, but so I get it. Tell me about Saltburn, because I have the feelings and thoughts, so I want
to
hear yours.
Before I give it to Saltburn, I would like to say another second redeeming quality is the incredibly cute cat in Argyle. I give it 5 backpack cats out of 10.
Backpack cats?
Yeah.
Oh, I watched something with a cute cat in here. Oh.
YouTube?
I forgot about something else I watched. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
What do you think of it?
Loved it.
How's he doing?
Amazing.
Yeah, he's writing and directing that, right?
Yeah. So good. And like the ending,
So
I can't
is this
wait.
Like before they go after each other
yep.
in the movie?
Yeah, it starts okay. earlier. It's sweet. It is effing great.
Is it grounded? Like, are they CIA or is it just some made up like Mission Impossible force? Like
they work for the company.
Okay, so it's fictional.
But it doesn't tell you like. But they have a background. Like they've
okay.
got other stuff, and so it's kind of like you kind of get thrown in the middle. You're kind of like out there. You don't really know what's happening.
Okay.
And that's kind of
oh, so
nice.
It's started. Something's
yeah,
happening.
It's already started by the time you jump in. So I didn't mean to derail this. I just forgot.
No,
you said
no,
cute
no, no,
cat.
No, 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 no.
She has a cute cat named Max in that
yeah.
show.
Cats are great to talk
about. Jane Smith
about.
Has Max, the cat.
You said, okay, here. So, five backpack cats out of
5 backpack cats out of 10.
Out of 10. And he's got like big CGI eyes. So he's just cute as fuck.
Aww.
Yeah, yeah.
Cute.
Yeah, like that kind. So, but Saltburn.
Yeah.
The one that did well. Someone told me that it was talented Mr. Ripley-esque.
That's what I heard, too.
And I
think,
like,
we probably heard it in the same conversation.
That chat group we're all a part of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, all right. I love talented Mr. Ripley. I think that's one of Matt Damon's best roles. I'm a huge fan of Jude Law's receding hairline because I have one, too. So, like, let's do this. And it's a mystery that you don't see coming, first of all. Like, it's a thriller with a mystery buried inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Huge whodunit turn that you can't even think.
In Saltburn.
You saw it coming. Spoiler alert, listener. It's been out for like 3 weeks.
I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay, so first of all, walking into it, being like, for you listener, if you haven't seen it, we'll give you a quick synopsis. It's the rich dad, poor dad scenario where you've got like a really well-to-do student in a school. They're in a boarding school, I think.
I think it's Cambridge. I think it's university.
Okay,
they're
so
at university, yeah.
And they all go home for a break. And I think it's summer break, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And
the scholarship student goes home to spend summer break with his rich friend that he's made.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better. And we got Jacob Elordi. And the Scottish man that I can't remember his name, but he's been so much right now.
The cutie pie. That's the whole time I was watching that movie. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to believe that this man is not attractive? I had a really hard time with that. Like, I was like, I'm supposed to think that this is not a good looking man. Like,
yeah, he had some real.
He's
real meat on him.
I think he's good looking. I like his. He's
Barry Keoghan.
Barry Keoghan. He's got a great face. He's got an interesting nose.
Yes, he's got a very interesting persona.
He is. I think he's really attractive. And I had a really hard time with the movie based on that fact alone.
Really, that was
that,
throwing
like,
you off.
That people that I was supposed to believe that he wasn't like attractive, and I
never thought he wasn't attractive. I just thought he was without social skills, like without an upper, and like
maybe
like because he plays. He plays the poor student, the scholarship student, and then goes to Saltburn, and Saltburn is a rich estate where Jacob Elordi's character lives.
I just want him to know if he's listening that I think he's good looking, and I thought he was good
looking.
I'll
get it to him, don't worry.
Yeah, you tell him. Yeah. I thought that even before, I had a hard time believing that he was supposed to be awkward because he's so good looking.
And what you experience in this movie is this downward spiral of tricks and deceit and a long con that you don't see coming. And this is where the talents of Mr. Ripley comes in, right? Where it's like, I want to be that life. I want that life. And then he starts to take out family members one at a time.
Pew, pew, pew.
And you're like, is he doing, like, is it accidental? Is it not? Like, there's so many questions that are answered. Skip this part if you don't want to hear the spoiler. But like the ending where you finally see, I'm giving them time to skip right now, where you finally see that it was all a con. And he had figured this out from the get-go with the tack in the tire, and then finding his way into the family. But what is insane to me, and I don't know if this is the director's vision to be like, how do we top what talented Mr. Ripley is? But the things that he does, oh my God, are they just for insane misdirection?
Okay,
do you think it's to fuck with everybody? Because all the drinking of the semen in the bathtub, the slurping,
the licking of the rim. That's gross.
That sound will never leave me. Then also the I'm a vampire part where he go like, and I mean, fine, whatever.
Yep.
But like, this is all, these are things that these people don't see coming.
Right. It's shock.
Or
it
see
is,
even happening.
It's shock value. Yeah. I think, and people are supposed to be like, I think that the idea is that maybe he has some cracks when people aren't looking of like how
you
like,
think that this is supposed to mask him and his whole entire
game. Like how weird he is, right?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
how intense he is. And so when he thinks he can get away with it or when he thinks no one's paying attention, he's got some cracks in the armor. But I actually think the opposite about the talented Mr. Ripley. When I heard the comparison to talented Mr. Ripley, I expected this movie to be more. I expected Saltburn to be weirder.
It does plateau for a really long time.
Yeah, and I expected, I don't know, I just, it was weird. But it wasn't like the way that Talented Mr. Ripley was, you know, like Talented Mr. Ripley left me like my skin crawling
really
for days. And like it was just like this so strange because this guy, it wasn't so much. It was like it was getting the thing you want, not like taking over somebody's life, like assuming someone's persona in quite the same way. Like it was, I don't know. Talented Mr. Ripley was way creepier in my mind. Like it did way more and it didn't have. I didn't rely on some of the like shock value stuff the way that Saltburn did.
It's all in Dickie's quote unquote.
Yeah.
How he acts, how he's so nervous about it and how he's so like it's what he's never done anything like this. Now he's trying to get into it.
Yeah.
Right. Where, yeah, the shock value. And that's what I liked about this was like, okay, now we need something in today's, you know, contemporary filmmaking. Shock me a little bit.
Shock me. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I did like that. And yeah. I guess I
just wasn't creeped out the way I wanted to be. Like I wanted.
It was gross. It wasn't creepy.
I wanted to leave it being like, blah. And I wasn't. I was just kind of like, eh, that was fucked up, I guess. But like, I wanted to have nightmares about it.
Everybody's performances were fantastic, too.
Yeah, like, they were all really good.
Mom, Roseman Pike, Carey Mulligan's random aunt role with the crazy orange hair.
Yeah, yep.
Richard E. Grant is like the bumbling father who's like, and like the grave scene. I think the grave scene.
That was crazy. That was a little weird. And then it also makes you wonder, like, what is this? Oh, there was a part I didn't. Like, what is his motivation? So there was a part that I didn't really understand where they, like, from the beginning, when they're talking about, like, oh, was I in love with him? And he's like, and they never tied that together. Like,
they didn't. You're right.
Who was he talking to? Who was he talking about? What was the end result? Like, so was he in therapy? Like, was he in therapy? Was he talking to police? Like, that part kind of.
Or was he talking to us?
Or to no one, to himself. I don't know.
Possibly.
To the mom later. Like I.
And it was very prominent that his hair was very different.
Yeah.
He was in a suit from the waist up. Like it wasn't out of story shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There were just pieces of it that I thought like could have been weirder.
His performance was daring, amazing, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, really getting. He really brought me in. And I mean, he was amazing in The Banshees of Inisherin. He was really good as the Joker for 30 seconds in the end of The Batman. Like, he's a new Colin Farrell. Like, a spade here. Right?
Yeah,
like, he's the second coming.
He does.
Just don't
seem
be the bad boy that Colin Farrell was.
Or, I mean, do.
Or do
it,
yeah. Well, and, like, the themes, too. Like, did you catch how, like, Saltburn is a Midsummer's Night Dream?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was super fun. I really enjoyed that.
Like, and like just lazing about and being so open about sex and life and experience. Like,
yeah,
I would totally go. I would be like, fuck it. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Party.
YOLO. I enjoyed it, but I wanted it to be weirder.
Fair enough. I mean, performance wise, movie wise, it's an 8 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, it was super enjoyable. I don't know that I'll go back to it.
I won't. I'm good. I know it.
But it could have been more shocked. Maybe I'm just desensitized. I wanted to be more shocked than I was.
Eight boners in a grave. Boners in a freshly dug grave.
Yeah. Great. That's just where you want them.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, I got Survivor tonight to compliment your Hey You or whatever the fucking reality television channel that is.
Get the global app for that shit.
What's the one? I watched an episode last night before I had to get up out of the room because I was like, I just can't. Like, and it's not because it's bad. It's too graphic. But it's like the plastic surgery's gone wrong.
Ew.
There's two doctors who are on a reality
Nip
show.
Nip Tuck?
No, that's a great
that's the
show.
Show.
That's this is like reality television where they try to, like, it's basically Nip Tuck, but reality.
No thanks. Hard pass.
Yeah, like this woman had an incredibly botched tummy tuck. And she was very, like, you could see everything because it's a plastic surgery show, right?
Yeah.
So you can't, like, that's the subject of the show. And I just felt so bad for her. I was like, man, how are people allowed to run butcher shops? Like, this is
That's
it's just
crazy.
Insane. And then, like, they have to be real with her and be like, I can only do so much. And, yeah, it's.
No, thanks. I mean, I've had plastic surgery. I liked it. I don't want to think about, like, what could possibly go wrong. You're out cold.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very.
Personal.
Personal and intense. Yeah. And I just can't, like, I can't imagine. I don't want to think about it because I would like to have more plastic surgery. So
yeah, okay, so avoid that show
So
altogether.
I don't want to think about it at all.
Yeah, I didn't even talk about this.
It never happened.
So let's move into the shit that's happening, shit that's being talked about. Just shit in general because some of these are really funny news articles. But yeah, this is the news portion of the show. This week we're going to start this news segment off with the popcorn bucket I think we all can't wait to get our hands on. Or stick something in. Is the Dune 2 popcorn bucket that has been traveling around online. You gonna buy one?
Only if I go to the movie.
Like, if you don't buy one, you're probably gonna be out a couple grand because you could resell this on eBay.
I mean,
like, for the cost, for the investment of buying one for resale value later, come on now.
It's super likely. It is super likely. I'm not a big souvenir person. I don't tend to like spend a lot of money on like knickknacks and stuff like that. But
how about paddy wax?
But so, yeah, I do like to give a dog a bone, and this looks like a butthole, which
it
is
does!
Really fun for me.
A so, butthole that from hell.
A spiky butthole, the forbidden butthole,
the forbidden the no no butthole. But the reason we're talking about this article is Denis Villeneuve has a really like boring response. I just wanted to talk about it because nobody's talked about it. We haven't talked about it on the show yet. But when asked like what Denis Villeneuve thinks of his masterpiece being dwindled down to a popcorn bucket you can fuck, is I don't want to make a stupid joke right now that I will regret tomorrow morning.
I do not relate to that.
I will make the stupid joke right now
every
on the
time.
Air. But I will say this. When I saw it, I went, holy smokes.
Holy smokes.
What the fuck? At the time, it created a lot of fun online. So maybe it's positive. It's some kind of impressive design.
It sure is.
It sure is. Like, I said to the guys at work, I was like, you know what? If they just made, like, the rim. But, like, you know how, like, if the bucket had like a flat surface on it and you just reached in and there was like rubber tentacles and nothing was coming out, it'd be fine. But that looks like a fucking sex toy from a porn shot on Mars.
Yeah, I hope it's not sharp. Otherwise, there's going to be some serious problems with people using this for its unintended purposes.
I think Chinese finger cuffs as soon as I look at it.
Yeah.
Imagine the first guy who has to go to the hospital because it's like, I can't get it off.
Stuck in the popcorn bucket.
Right?
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be the next Tide Pods.
The idea that out of a city of, what, just shy of 800,000, that somebody will buy it and try to fuck it in Winnipeg is pretty likely.
Like 10 people at least.
Do you think they're all friends?
Maybe like 7 of them are.
Do you think
friends.
They're gonna do like a
all like, together, yeah, like a circle
like,
jerk?
Like a circle jerk.
A sandworm circle jerk.
Oh my
please
god.
Please don't. This is not an ideas
this
podcast.
This is how it happens though.
If it does happen, could you please give us a call and leave us a voicemail?
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
You know what? We will not share those images because we don't have the money for you to sue us, but you could send them to us.
No, don't I don't want to see pictures. I want to hear the story. Call our voicemail line and tell us about it.
If you get ASMR in it. And like play with it on the voicemail, that'd be fantastic.
It's okay. You know what? Mike checks those, not me, so that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Do whatever you want.
I'm the one who has to screen it. But yeah, they are available from February 29th going forward, apparently.
Hey, that's today.
Yeah, it is today. Yeah. I mean, they open tonight, actually. Today's previews for Dune, which I tried to get tickets for Sunday. Not fucking likely happening.
No, not happening.
Not unless somebody cancels. But yeah, okay. So you're gonna probably buy one. I'm definitely gonna buy one.
I'm probably buy one, and I'm not gonna stick any or anything in there that doesn't belong in there.
Okay, so here's the deal. When that happens, we have to do the show with them.
Okay, with our popcorn buckets.
Yeah,
sure. That sounds good.
Okay.
Well, I like popcorn.
Now you know 2 of 8 people who will be fucking their popcorn buckets, listener. Let's look on the right screen here. Okay, so this one's kind of funny. You've heard of the director Werner Herzog?
I have.
Have you ever seen any of the stuff he's done?
Like what, Mike? What has he done?
The Grizzly Bear is the big one that I know. The Grizzly Bear Man, do you know that one? The guy who went and lived with the bears in Alaska and then was eaten by 2 bears. Him and his girlfriend were murdered.
I didn't know that, but I honestly, that doesn't seem like a surprising outcome. So, yeah. No, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm not surprised.
Timothy something. He does weird documentaries. He does, like, art pieces and stuff like that. Like, he's German, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a different sensibility there. But when questioned, Werner Herzog shares brutal Barbie critique with sheer hell verdict. Let's see if we can.
It seems like harsh words from a guy who made a movie about some dude who got eaten by bears in Alaska.
Right. Okay. So here's how the quote starts. This is pretty funny. I have not seen Oppenheimer. Why am I doing this with a German accent? I have not seen Oppenheimer yet, but I will do it. Barbie, I managed to see the first half hour, and I was curious. I wanted to watch it because I was curious, and I still don't have an answer, but I have a suspicion. Could it be that the world of Barbie is sheer hell? For a movie ticket, as an audience, you can witness sheer hell. As close as it gets.
You know, that is
think about Barbie
a lot,
for a second
but,
right now.
Okay, so
what's it hell for?
So I don't hate this assessment because, and I want to say, like, I don't, like we said, I don't like going to movies. I like to be in my pajamas so I can pee. But I went and saw Barbie in the movie theater and I loved it. I've seen it several times since. It's a great movie.
I have a fucking Knuff shirt. Like.
But my dad's name is Ken.
Are you gonna get him one?
He would never wear that. He would die first. But
Ken, I got words with you, bud.
But yeah, you know, I can see that Barbie Land
Yeah.
Like, could be a version of hell. Like, it's very Stepford, right? Like, very, very
sterile
Stepford.
And,
yes.
And yeah. Pink.
Yeah. So, like, the Stepford Wives is, like, you know, that could be hell. That could be purgatory. It could be all sorts of things, right? There's episodes of, I don't know, it comes to mind, like an episode of Angel, right, where they're stuck in purgatory. It's like in torture. And it's
Or like
it's
in
the
Bill
suburbs.
And Ted's Excellent Adventure Part 2 with
yeah,
death.
Yeah, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
They're playing Twister.
Yeah, exactly.
In limbo.
Because so it's like, you know, I always say, like, hell for me is probably like a urban sprawl, like, suburb where all the houses look the same and are 14 inches apart or whatever. And, like, all the roads are named.
Are they
after,
all made of ticky tacky?
Yeah, and they all look just the same. And all the, like, roads are named after, like, different forms of, like, water
or
masses.
Racist old dudes.
Yeah, and I can't find my way out. Like, I get it. I get what this guy's saying.
Aqueduct Lane to, like, Pond Boulevard.
To Pond Boulevard to like Fjord Way to like.
What are you in Gimli?
Yeah, right. So I get it. I get what he's saying. If he's saying that.
Like, he's talking about a theme, I think. I don't think he's talking about
the movie. If he's talking about the movie being, like, hell to watch, then he's wrong. But I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think what he's saying is, like,
I don't think that's what he's talking about either.
I think so.
I think he's trying to see the, like, if you were to, like, one sentence the movie, right?
Yeah.
I think he's looking at it through, like, an artistic lens as opposed to just a popular culture.
So you scroll down though. And of course Piers Morgan, like, immediately jumped on. He's like, that's right, this is a movie with only women and therefore it's sheer hell.
Fuck you, Piers Morgan. Like, I mean, I think this is where he was actually asked the question. I think it was Piers Morgan. He was on the Piers Morgan show.
Well, I hate him.
I mean, like, fuck, what? However you see it. I mean, Barbie's a fantastic movie. There's a ton of theme in it, right?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
But I think that's just looking at it through one dimension.
Yeah. You know what? Anything that makes old white men angry, I love it. I love it.
Wait a minute. I'm not a woman. Does that mean I have no power?
Does that mean I have no power?
It's a brilliant line. If you were curious, listener, about what happened during the SAG strike, there was a big moment that happened, and it was part of the Barbenheimer universe where the Oppenheimer cast were on the road. They were in Ireland, and in the middle of doing press, the SAG strike happened, and they all just walked out of the theater.
And did what I would do if I walked out of anywhere in Ireland. And
get fucking drunk.
Go to the pub.
It wasn't that confusing. To figure out that they all went for drinks after.
I assume Robert Downey Jr. did not go for drinks.
He went, but I am sure it was a cranberry juice.
Yeah, because Robert Downey Jr. is my my sober hero.
Yeah, so when asked, Downey Jr. addressed the walkout before the opening for Murphy to reveal. In true fashion, I went to a bar straight away. Blunt followed by quickly adding, we went to a bar in solidarity. A few of us went. Even this one, pointing to Robert Downey Jr., we stayed out till 4 a.m.
Can you imagine? You're just, like, at your local pub in Ireland, just drinking, having fun, and all of a sudden, like, Emily Blunt, Robert Downey Jr., like, Cillian Murphy all walk in.
Matt Damon.
And you're just like, what?
That's one of those, like, well, like, that's a Bill Murray moment, but Bill Murray makes those moments happen all the time. This is a, like, level 1 million Bill Murray moment.
Because it's just, like, random. They probably were, I bet it was a security nightmare for their team.
You know, there's two ways that this could have gone down. I'd like to think with Damon there, it would have been like, let's just go, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I honestly think they find a little pub around the corner. It's a Tuesday night. Nobody else is probably doing shit. Like, if it's happening at the premiere, right? Like, we see the premiere 16:9.
Yeah.
So you see.
Yeah, that's true. There's really a ton of people.
Could there only be 1,000 people there, right? It's not that big of a deal. So they just walk out of 1,000 movie theater or whatever, 1,000 person environment and go around the corner. There's probably a shithole pub.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
like, the anonymity, or they asked everybody to clear out, and they were all fucking dicks about it.
I doubt it.
No, I doubt it too.
Especially not when they were acting in solidarity.
Not when you're trying to get an Oscar too, right?
Yes, yeah, I know it's true. You want to be on your best behavior.
That's so. I mean, I like knowing that it kind of puts them down on a like it brings them down to
it
our
reminds
world.
You that everybody's human and sometimes we just need a drink.
Yeah, exactly, except Robert Downey. Here is a lovely news article. These are all from MovieWeb. We'll put them all in the show notes for you listeners, so if you want to read them in full, we're just giving you the Coles notes of it. But this was a fun article. I figured we'd go over the biggest box office flops of 2023.
I like this one.
So the big picture on the article is
the Flash.
Miller, the Flash. They were just like, we can't wait. We need to show the world that it's this.
Flash, that was an interesting one. We talked about this on the show, and it was funny that they managed to piss off like left wing and right wing all at the same time, because like really Ezra Miller is non-binary.
Yeah.
And so that pisses off right wing people just by existing.
But then he goes on a burglary rampage.
They go on a rampage.
Thank you.
Yes. And like are accused of, I think, some sort of violence against someone as well. Anyway, so like they're not canceled for that. So that pisses off the left wing. Anyway, I just want to say I really liked that movie.
And
all things aside, whether they're a good person or a bad person, they are an excellent actor and did a great job of that movie. And I really enjoyed it. And I am also looking at the screen out of the corner of my eye and seeing the second one on here. And I am mad. This is one of my favorite movies. One of my favorite movies of the last decade.
Well, and like, okay, this is box office flop. This does not mean it's a bad movie in our world. And I agree with you with The Flash. We got Batman 89 back.
Yeah.
I could have taken that on dry toast and it would have been fine, right?
It was so much fun beginning to end. I really enjoyed it.
Aside from that, the movie was a lot of fun. The story was a lot.
It was funny.
Cool. It was
interesting. The acting was good.
He played two different people.
They
played two different people. I just watched them in We Need to Talk About Kevin, actually.
Yeah.
I watched that for the first time. Wow, did they do a really good
job. Really good. They're like, really, really good.
Like, I'd never seen that movie. I'd only heard what it kind of talks about. And after watching it, I was like, they are a fucked up child.
Oh, yeah. No, it's honestly,
it was a hard swallow.
I understand why people didn't like The Flash, I suppose. But like, if you put all that aside and just like watch it for what it is, I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was funny, interesting, well acted, really, really fun.
I don't understand how Renfield's.
How is Renfield on here?
Again, box office flop. So, I mean, statistically, the money that it took to make it, it earned $26 million in the theater and only. It took $26 million to make. $26 million in the theater on a $65 million
budget. Guys, if you haven't seen Renfield,
watch it.
You have to go watch it immediately. It is, again, another one that is so funny. It is so, so good. I'm in my Nicolas Cage era right now. Like, Nicolas Cage has decided not to take himself seriously, to like make fun of himself and take on like ridiculous roles. So he plays Dracula.
And Nicholas Holt plays Renfield.
And he's like, he's so good. And he's trying to find himself after like decades, hundreds of years.
Servitude
to this like crazy
it's
Dracula.
So good.
And it's so gory and violent, but like in a over the top, like funny, ridiculous kind of way.
It doesn't take it so seriously.
No,
it's a horror comedy.
People get their arms ripped off, and like other people get beaten to death with them and stuff. It's such a good movie. And what's her name? The rapper, Aquafina.
Aquafina, yeah.
She's in it. She's the main female.
I love her.
Lead. Oh, me too. She's so funny, and she's a great, like she's the she plays a cop. Who's trying to help Renfield like take on Dracula?
Yeah, she's torn between being the law
and then the guy from whatchamacallit from Parks and Rec, the spoiled son, where he's like, I got run over by Lexus. That guy. Anyway, he is. He's like the main bad guy.
There's no reason
kid.
Not to enjoy Renfield. Like,
oh
if
God,
you're
a
Nicolas Cage fan and if you like horror, the guy never touches the genre.
Dungeons and Dragons is on here too. This list is making me mad. I should have maybe read this list ahead of time.
No, I didn't read it either because I wanted to be shocked in real time. Again, okay, like, let's see here. The budget was $150 million and it grossed $208. So,
Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. I've seen this three times.
I've seen it twice. I love it.
Me too.
What's the name of the guy they're asking in the first scene where they're like, is Thaddeus here? Or is...
Oh, okay, the guy with the wings.
With the wings.
The wings.
We really pitched like, this really, for him to be here.
Yeah, this is really important to my story.
$280 million. Just listener, for your own benefit in math, and I've just learned this recently, if a movie costs $200 million to make, let it go.
Ooh.
If a movie costs $200 million to make, it needs to make $600 million before it makes money.
That doesn't math to me.
That is Hollywood accounting, though.
Okay.
So because the movie takes $200 million to make, you then have to market the movie. Then you have to get everybody involved pay for all the logistics to get the movie around the world. So you're already half a billion in after marketing for a Marvel DC level movie. So it has to make $600 million to make money. So when the theaters are making money and it's the $1 billion maker or the $1 billion movie, they're getting that $400 to $800 million on top of that six.
That's crazy. You know what? If you have kids and, you know, like older kids, you know, like young teenagers or like older, you know, my kids are 10 and 12. This movie was a really fun one to watch as a family. It was so much fun.
And Dungeons and Dragons, like I know across the board has Dungeons and Dragons Family Night.
Yep.
Shout out to the best board
game
cafe in town.
And we played Dungeons and Dragons as a family too during COVID when we were doing homeschooling. We would do little, like my Dan, you guys know Dan.
Yeah.
Would put on little like one shots with the girls to for like math.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So that was really fun.
Like it's a good family fun action movie.
Absolutely. You should run out and watch it with your kids or just by yourself because it's fun. Haunted Mansion, I didn't see that. Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny,
again,
loved it.
I loved it.
Loved it. Old school Indiana Jones.
I thought the ending was a little clunky because maybe it was the length of the movie. I was like, I like doing this. I thought that was cool where it's like, this is where Indy belongs. Indy belongs in a different time. He's not meant for today's society.
Yeah.
He wants to hang around an old philosopher. If they'd maybe chopped some of the length of the movie down, that ending would have felt really cool. And then it's like, no, we're pulling you back, Indy. We're not going to let you have it.
But then he had his happy ending.
He did have his happy ending, right? He gets Marion back in the end, and that's all about changing time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so it works for Indy.
You know what? I was prepared to watch it and hate it. I found it very old school. I felt all the good, like happy old school Indiana Jones vibes that I needed to feel. I loved that movie.
Shazam.
Okay, this movie, The Fury of the Gods, was terrible. I will say that.
65 I watched. I wanted to puke the whole time.
Is this the dinosaur one?
The one that has barely any dinosaurs?
I didn't see that because I was told that there weren't that many dinosaurs.
That's the problem.
And I'm not interested in a movie that talks about dinosaurs but doesn't have any.
That took 60 mil and it made 60 mil, so it didn't even break even. Wish was the big Disney flop. I don't know what the problem was.
Honestly, I didn't even
know
that.
November 22nd release. Like, that's a Christmas release. That's a Thanksgiving release.
I didn't even know that came out yet. We haven't seen it. And I have kids and we watch all the Disney movies. We haven't seen that. Okay.
The Marvels just got chewed apart for, I don't know why everybody wanted to hate it.
I hate this. I loved this movie. I found the Marvels.
Charles said the same thing. Mark said the same thing.
It was funny. Like, I laughed out loud multiple times. I found it enjoyable. I thought the acting was good. I thought the story was interesting. I loved it beginning to end. Like, no notes. It was great.
I think that was a bad time where that Marvel article came out and the Marvel book came out at the same time. And a lot of people got the inside scoop on how Marvel makes shit and how a lot of it's like by the seat of their pants sometimes. And just the article of, are superheroes dying? Is the superhero genre too much? Did Disney pummel us with too much? This came out at the exact same time, also during the strike. So, like,
that's true.
No pump, right?
Yeah.
Unfair.
It is unfair. You know what? I loved it. I think it's one of my favorite Marvel movies that have come out recently, actually. One of my favorite Marvel experiences in the last little while. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
And that's your news this week, listener. We had more, but for time's sake, that's what we're going to
do. That was an upsetting list.
That was.
I don't like it.
I think our next list is probably going to make us a little bit happier.
Happier. Happy Gilmore?
More like I'm Madison.
Oh.
So, yes, listener, as mentioned at the top of the show, this is either where you've skipped to or where you are still listening. And this is Adam Sandler Day here on the podcast. Because Spaceman's coming out, it's another serious Adam Sandler role. I was like, let's talk about the dude for a minute. So we found a list. Oh, wait a minute. We need to open the floor.
Floor is open.
There he is. So we picked a list. This is a Screen Rant list. The date on this list is August 15th, 2022. And it is the 10 most rewatchable Adam Sandler movies. And we're going to get to that list shortly. But before we get to it, Emily, when did you meet Mr. Sandler?
You know, Adam Sandler is a staple of, like, my childhood in movies. And not in my childhood, like, little, but, you know, when you first started to, like,
grow body
watch
hair.
Watch movies with your friends.
Okay.
Grow body hair in those places where you didn't have it before. But so it's like, you know, your parents take you to certain movies or whatever.
Or you go to the movies with your friends.
Your parents never take you to an Adam Sandler movie, right?
No.
You go over to your friend's house or something and they put on like Happy Gilmore.
Shabba-dabba-doo.
Yeah, and it's the first time you see it, like Billy Madison or whatever. And so then you're like, oh, this is adult movies, right? This is comedy.
Oh, I'm naughty.
Exactly. And so I think I became a little bit more of an Adam Sandler fan specifically because he felt kind of bad, like I maybe shouldn't have been watching.
He's
right?
A naughty comic.
Yeah, I was a little bit too young for it. And so probably in the mid 90s was when I kind of really was introduced to Adam Sandler. He fills a role for me that feels very similar to like Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Which is...
They're not that far apart.
Or Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like a very specific kind of comic with very physical, very physical comedian that does one thing and then like hammers it to death. And so I actually don't love...
Back to school.
Yeah, exactly. I actually don't love Adam Sandler. Don't love Will Ferrell. Don't love Jim Carrey. We've heard about this before from me.
Oh, you have.
That said, the time that I do love Will Ferrell, Adam Sandler, or whatever, is when they show me something else, when they step into a more interesting, more complex, and different role. So, like for Will Ferrell, for me, it's Stranger Than Fiction, right?
Yeah.
That's a great movie. It's my favorite Will Ferrell movie. Exactly.
That fucking line kills me every time
because he's so good in that movie,
yeah.
and it shows something completely different. And so that is where Adam Sandler shines for me.
Or Thank You for Leaving, is it? The one where he plays the alcoholic who's lost everything and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Something like that.
And so, but that's where he shines through for me. And the other thing that I really find really good roles with physical comedians are when they transition into doing kids' movies. So there's a couple of movies on this Adam Sandler list. For me, he really nails the roles where he's meant to, like, where his voice or his actions are meant to be this big, like, entertaining for children, like, larger than life cartoon. Yes. And so you're going to find out in a little bit, my favorite Adam Sandler movie, my most rewatchable Adam Sandler movie is actually a children's movie.
I know the one, and it brings joy to my heart. I mean, I'm a little bit of both. I remember this dude who did Fresh Pepper, right?
Yeah.
You know, and was in the background of, you know, when you'd stay up the odd time to watch SNL when you were a kid, or I mean, I wasn't that 90s. Yeah, I was probably 15.
Yeah.
14, 15. So yeah, I was staying up late, but like, it was the odd time that I'd give two fucks about SNL, and it was always with the parents. And this guy who was friends with Farley and was friends with Spade, like there was this thing going on, but it wasn't until The Wedding Singer.
Yes.
Is where I realized that was the same guy.
The put
same
it all together.
Guy. And it kind of clicked. And I was like, oh, this is the dude from SNL. And I have one of my favorite movie stories is we went to Summerland, the big apartment with the atrium in it.
Oh, down on Pemina.
Yeah, down on Pemina. Yep. You remember when Cinema City used to be at?
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
We used to go 50-cent movies.
Yeah. We cartwheeled all the way across Bishop Grandin into the movie theater, into our seats, and then dizzily sat down. And I started watching.
I'm sure traffic loved you.
Oh, you're 16, 17, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember this incredibly fun time with all my friends watching The Wedding Singer and then laughing hysterically.
Yeah.
And just loving this cute rom-com and being like, okay, like this is my jam. And Billy Madison came later. Happy Gilmore came later. But it was The Wedding Singer that like solidified me. As a fucking, I'll bow at the temple of Sandler.
I remember watching like Adam Sandler double features at night on TV, like on like Channel 8 movies on Friday nights. And so it was like Billy Madison was on TV at night, same with Happy Gilmore. And I think that's probably my first like real sort of repetitive introduction to Adam Sandler.
I don't think I would have liked him if I'd stumbled upon him in Happy Madison or Billy Madison, because it's this it's his SNL character.
It is,
right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
it's
very so.
Like abrasive and loud and whatever. But I like his charm. I like the fact that he's a comedic musician. Like I liked all of the
do funny songs.
Right?
Music comedy has a special spot.
And
in
like
my heart,
playing guitar is so secondary to everything we know about him, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's the Hanukkah song. Oh,
Eight
it's
Crazy Nights.
Eight
That's
Crazy
a great
Nights,
movie, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and
you know
so-
what? And I will say that, like, anything else aside, whether or not I enjoy his movies, I have heard absolutely nothing but, like, amazing things about Adam Sandler as a person.
Oh, yeah. Dude's pretty chill.
Yeah. It seems like he really is, like, he's a good guy. And I can't fault anybody for doing the thing that makes the money, right? Like, if you're...
He's like the Nickelback of fucking comedy for some reason, and I don't get it.
If your specific shtick gets you parts and, like, makes you money, and, like, then, of course, do it over and over and over again. It's, like, the same as me using my my customer service voice. Like, of course I'm going to. Is that my normal voice? No. But, like, does it get me paid? Yes. And so
like this all the time. No.
So, yeah, so I'll do it over and over again. And, like, that's important. I think it's important to remember when we take any sort of stance on this, like, maybe his movies, I don't go out of my way to watch all of them, but I respect it and understand it.
I remember when everybody was like, he's the Netflix bitch, right? And they're just throwing shit at
it's
him.
It's like, but I would be too. You throw money at me? Yeah.
First of all,
hit me up. Tell me what you want.
Creating a production company and making stories that you know how to make is the fucking game.
Yeah.
And making big hit albums and being a really well-traveled and toured musician is the fucking game.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's what everybody wants. And just because you I always find that people are like, fucking sell out Adam Sandler. No, you just don't like the bank.
Yeah,
you're envious. You're being a dick. Like, if someone was like, here's a 5-picture deal. Here's $100 million. Make us what you're good at. We don't care.
Okay, what are you going to say? No thanks.
No thanks.
Keep your money.
So, like, he's done the thing that everybody wants to do in movies. He's made an Adam Sandler universe in the real world and then takes those people and puts them into his movies.
Yep.
Where everybody wants a universe. None of his movies talk to each other, really. Like, Mr. Deeds has no lineup to, like, Punch Drunk Love.
Or Big Daddy.
Or Big Daddy. Yeah. Or Eczema. Yeah. Gross, right?
Yeah.
The shoes, they make me fall down.
Little Nicky was good, too. There's, like, I don't know. I honestly...
There's fucking Zohan. Like, I mean...
Don't fuck with the Zohan. I forgot about that movie. But you're right. You're right. They are all funny. Like, we're saying these movies, and I'm like, haha. Like, they're all enjoyable. They're all funny. They all serve a purpose. And, yeah, he has created a whole plethora of characters that are very clearly still Adam Sandler.
And the only time he isn't is when you make your point of his dramatic roles.
Yeah.
Funny People, Punch Drunk Love, Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
God, fuck her for that. Hustle he did,
yep.
Right? And Spaceman that's coming out, which is all him. Like, there's nobody else in it. He's on a space station.
Yep.
So he's going to have to act.
And I think he's going to do a great job. Honestly, I don't think anyone's going into the being like, oh, I wonder if Adam Sandler can do this. Like,
he can do it.
Of course he can.
He can do
we
it.
We all know it.
I think Punch Drunk Love's my favorite with Funny People in a close second. The only reason I like it less is because it's almost 3 hours. Like, Judd Apatow, cut your shit, my friend. Like, it's a dramedy. Too long. But, Spanglish.
Spanglish is great.
Like, such a sweet fucking movie.
Yeah, that is a sweet movie.
Right?
Yeah, you know what? I will say that all of his movies pretty much are sweet. You know, like
they don't punch down.
They're all feel good.
Right.
Like, in the end, you know, most of them leave you feeling pretty happy.
Go to your fucking home.
So my favorite, in case you hadn't guessed it yet, is Hotel Transylvania.
Which, it's all one and two. They're fucking fun.
There's no bad in Hotel Transylvania. It is.
The Dracula voice is so much fun.
It's hilarious. And, like, it has found this, like, home in our family. Like, the way that we used to quote Lion King when I was a kid is the way we quote Hotel Transylvania with my kids now. Like, it's been around for so long. And so they're like, oh, Dracula, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, blah, I blah, don't blah. Say blah, blah, blah. And it's just, like, constantly in our house. And that movie is star-studded, just, like, beginning to end. It's so good. And I can confidently say I've seen Hotel Transylvania 50-plus times. And
it's a background movie,
isn't
it?
It's never – well, and the kids – you know, well, those of you who have kids or little kids or been around little kids know that they watch the same thing over and over and over again.
We adults do the exact same thing here.
I know,
on the show.
As if I haven't just watched Friends.
Would you like to watch True Detective with me, Shauna? Sure.
And so I've seen it hundreds probably of times, honestly, and it's never lost its luster. It's just so funny.
It is, and then they go on the cruise together. The second one,
exactly. Like, and it's honestly, and it's the character of Dracula is so. It's so clearly Adam Sandler, but it's not. Like, you don't hear his voice, right? You hear Dracula.
Same with Leroy, his new one with Bill Barr.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I haven't seen it, but I know the one you mean.
That's the old cranky voice that he's known for. And he's this lizard that gets taken home with different kids from a classroom. And he teaches them, like, he's like, don't be surprised that I can talk to you. I know I'm a lizard and you're a human.
That's a really good Adam Sandler voice.
Thank you. Shampoo is better. I cleaned the hair. But mama said, fucking Waterboy. How do we not?
Waterboy.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
One of the most fucking, you're wrong, Colonel Sanders. Like, he has done, I don't think there's another actor in the comedy world that has the empire that he has.
No, and I mean, like, you say Adam Sandler, and people immediately know exactly who you're talking about. Everyone has seen an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
You say, like, Bob Barker, and people think Adam Sandler, right? Like,
Price is wrong, bitch.
Exactly. And so it's, yeah, you're right. No, like him, love him, hate him, whatever. You've got to give it up to him. He has done something that many, many other people have tried to do that just haven't.
Nobody's even relatively close.
I mean, I feel like maybe there is there's an example like Tyler Perry is, I think, similar.
Tyler Perry is the Black Adam Sandler.
Yeah, the Black Adam Sandler.
With Madea. And,
yeah, because he's same thing. He's taken a person, turned it into a character.
Good point.
Made it into an empire.
Yeah.
And so this sort of like Adam Sandler is Tyler Perry for white people.
That's 100% true.
Yeah. And so like, so I can't say that
as a white person, I can't really say 100%, but you get what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? I can't say, well, I just don't want to sit here and say that it's never been done before when it certainly has. It's been done by Tyler Perry for sure. And so I think it's something that's hard to do. It's hard to find. It's hard to find that niche.
Go back to the well that many times.
Yeah. Find that niche, yeah. Find your audience and really just like, and still be entertaining over and over and over again.
So the way I want to play this list is should it or shouldn't be on it, because it's a rewatchable list, right? So
I'm going to go ahead and say I think every Adam Sandler movie is rewatchable, but let's do it.
Okay, so first one up, Longest Yard, 2005. Remake.
Yep.
With the amazing Burt Reynolds in it as the coach who originally played his character who eludes me. I just know that he was fucking Courtney Cox.
We do love Burt Reynolds.
But like, I think this is one of those build the team movies that everybody should watch.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a good one. It came out when there was like a lot of team movies happening,
sure,
right? Like,
yeah.
It was right around the same time where there was like, remember the Titans?
And The Replacements.
The Replacements. What was the one with like?
No, I think The Replacements is earlier.
What
actually.
Was the one with Keanu Reeves where the kid
That's
was
The Replacements.
Like, I like it when you call me Big Papa.
Oh, Hardball.
Hardball. Yeah, that one.
We're going to the show.
Yeah.
We're going to the show.
That one was good.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there was a lot of them around this time. So I think it's maybe less like memorable than some others.
I wouldn't say it's rewatchable. I wouldn't put it on this list, to tell you the truth. I'd be
interested to see what the other ones are, because I think there's more. I think there's better ones.
Like, I would not. So, anyways, 2005, Longest Yard. Cheeseburger? Cheeseburger guy? Terry Crews? Do you remember? He's like, you want some cheeseburgers? And he pulls a cheeseburger out of his crotch?
Right. Yeah, because he's trying to get him to join the team, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is like, he goes to prison because he's a quarterback. He goes to prison. He agrees to help them play football, right? Something like that.
Oh, our list froze. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Okay. No. Oh, Spanglish.
That's
there
too
it is.
Far, yeah. Okay, so Spanglish is actually next on the list. 2014, yes. Leone and Adam Sandler. I think this one deserves to be on there.
Agreed.
This is where the softer side of Sandler came from.
Yep. Yeah, you know, this was a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. I have nothing bad to say about it. I thought it was very cute.
Mexican single mother moves across the border to seek a better life. If you've never
seen
this,
he's a chef, right?
She's a chef, yeah.
Yeah, she ends up working for him.
Yeah,
chef,
and then
yeah.
They kind of have a thing on the side, but then they all become a family after,
yeah.
And he realizes he loves Tia more. Yeah, this deserves to be there. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Hotel Transylvania.
Blah, blah, blah. This animated gem. Yeah, it is an animated gem.
It's so fun.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, there's so many good people in it. David Spade, Kevin
and
James.
Everybody looks like who they'd be. Like if Kevin James, I think he's the mummy, right? Is Kevin James the mummy?
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember now. There's the Invisible Man.
No, Kevin James is Lurch. Frankenstein.
Oh, Frankenstein.
That's who Kevin James is.
The Frankensteins. And what's his name? Steve Buscemi is the Wolfman. The main guy there, it's the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the son-in-law, right?
Yeah, the guy who, like, stumbles onto the Monster Hotel as a human and then falls in love with
Dracula's
daughter.
See, that's why I think you'll like Leroy, because Leroy's in the same vein as this.
I love it.
There's other friends from the Grown Ups crew in there. It's, yeah.
Check
no,
it out.
This is, you wouldn't disagree at all. Anger Management, nope. I've never seen it. I don't want to see it. I don't even.
Really?
I remember that. Was it good?
I remember it being funny. I remember enjoying it. Like I think Jack Nicholson is an absolute gem. I um It was stupid. I remember being stupid, but very enjoyable. But also, like, I don't know, the trope about, like, there that is an overused trope for me with Adam Sandler, is, like, the angry dude. It was funny. Like, what's the downside to Jack Nicholson? None, as far as I can tell.
Okay, what's the next one on the list?
Oh, Billy Madison.
Okay, of course.
So speaking of tropes of angry, he does his, like, angry guy tropes.
And that's what I'm saying is that The Wedding Singer wasn't really
like that, right? Because like he does this in Happy Gilmore, too, right? He's got a bad temper in Happy Gilmore. Billy Madison is funny. I think that it's got some parts that were like, you know, maybe wouldn't fly this time if it would be put out now.
Yeah,
right?
I can side with you on that.
Yeah, and so
but it's always cool to pee your pants.
Yeah, or like where you're making fun of the guy with the speech impediment.
Yeah,
today, Junior. Yeah. Overall, I thought it was pretty
Veronica
funny.
Veronica Vaughn,
so hot. I want to touch the hiney. It was, it was funny. Like, the premise is completely insane.
It's perfect for the dick and fart joke era of the 90s.
Yeah, it was, it felt.
It is very SNL.
Very SNL, yes. It didn't go above and beyond in any way, shape, or form.
No, Nudie Magazine Day, right? Yeah. Ooh, how many margaritas did I drink?
Yeah, it was pretty perfect.
No, you're right. You can't have an Adam Sandler rewatch list without what makes Adam Sandler known
to
the world.
Right, which is like that's his titular character.
Zhuzh.
Yes, it's what makes
titular.
Him
I love
titular
that word.
Character. For those of you who didn't come out to our trivia, we had a question with titular character.
We all said it like seven times.
Punch Drunk Love. There
Thank
she is, 2002.
You. The first real spreading of the drama wings.
Yep.
Right? If not the spreading of the drama wings. Really weird. Really Paul Thomas Anderson. Really fun to watch. Made me want to buy pudding. Like, there's Philip Seymour Hoffman being like, shut up, shut up on the phone. Not an Adam Sandler thing, but still a great part of the movie. But watching him migrate and throw caution to the wind and be like, I'm not going to do anything that I'm known for.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
And especially like being paired with someone like Emma Watson, who is a
Brilliant.
Really impressive actor.
Theater actor.
Yeah. To see somebody like Adam Sandler, where you're just like, that's why I'm not worried about him in Spaceman. Because I was worried about this one, right? I was like, this is not going to hold up.
This was a make or break.
Yeah. This is, you're putting like a dick and fart joke, like pee pee poo poo, whatever, up.
In
like,
a blue suit.
Up with someone to act up to the level of someone like Emma Watson, who's just like so impressive. But he did a great job. And so I think people underestimate, or I certainly, and maybe I put it to other people,
I
underestimated
him.
And I underestimate the talent that it takes to get to that level of poop and fart and dick jokes, you know, and do it the way that they do it. Like, you have to have some level of talent to do it in a way that's not just like me saying poop.
Yeah.
Right?
Or fart. Or yeah.
Or dicks.
No, I totally get it. What's next on the list?
That's your favorite. 1998, The Wedding Singer.
We let our first class passengers pretty much do whatever they want. It's so sweet. It's what gave us 50 First Dates.
Yes.
Right? It's what gave us the one where they go across. Like, they go to don't they go on like a resort trip to Africa and another Netflix movie?
Oh, that was the couples retreat or whatever.
No, couples retreats. Where there's no, that's Vince Vaughn.
Oh, that's Vince Vaughn.
This is the one where they both.
Another dick and fart
joke. Another dick and fart joke. But like they both have a trip to the Serengeti and they bring their families and then they become like a ready made family kind of thing going on. I think that was the whole. But like that film. Besides the cartwheeling across Bishop Grandin and pissing off traffic, be one of like my happiest summer nights as a
Aww.
Teen, is just so sweet. It's so funny. They were cones. I say they were cones. Whenever someone's like butthurt about something small, I'm like, they were cones, right? Like, it's no big fucking deal.
It's so cute. It is a cute movie. I really love Drew Barrymore. I've always loved Drew Barrymore. I had a little falling out with her during the actor strike or the strike.
I'm still out.
Yeah, but I've followed her career very, very closely. I've always enjoyed her, and so this is her first one with Adam Sandler. It's not the last, like you said. 50
yeah.
First Dates is a very cute movie.
Oh my god!
And so I've really.
You want to be 2 minute Tom? and like, nothing really is hard set in the 80s like that.
Yeah,
it's really fun because that's part of the bit. like him in the blue suit, the wedding singer aspect of it. Like, it's such a rock solid fucking idea.
Yeah.
I don't, you try to put anybody else in those. Look at those roles.
Yeah.
Who else? Nobody could do that.
No, it's darn tootin' cutin'.
What's on the next?
The wedding singer. Oh, this is Cole Spruce, little would grow up to be Jughead, was Ross's kid on Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Adam Sandler, obviously. And
oh, Big Daddy,
Big Daddy, yeah, yeah, Big Daddy. And that one was funny. I remember that one being endearing, like where they're smashing like the cans of beans in the like aisle to try to get them dented so they can get them for a discount.
And he like lets him wear whatever he wants to school. He wants to dress like Scuba Steve.
Yeah.
So he dresses like Scuba. That's the coming of age standard, like, do this for the family, do this for the fucking kids kind of movie.
Show how you can, so show that you can be a good guy. Like, it was kind of at the time, when did this come out? So this came out in 1999. So it's
99?
Like
99.
So it's like, oh, we're not all dickheads. Like, if we had to grow up, we could.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if Adam Sandler could do it, like, if I accidentally get my girlfriend pregnant, I can do it too.
We can all figure it out. Yeah.
And so
you're not alone in this.
Yeah. So, like, it was that, like, millennial, elder millennial reminder that, like, or Gen X.
Gen X? I don't even know the
Gen X reminder where it's like, it, you know, we might be a bunch of fuck ups, but, like, if push came to shove, we'd figure it out, right? Maybe they would wear stupid shit to school, but like the kids will be all right.
Eventually, trial and error.
Yeah, and then your favorite, Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. That movie gives me anxiety.
It gives you anxiety.
His race against the clock. It is such a great performance, showcasing like just a guy who's all about wheeling and
this
dealing.
Film has been aptly described as a 2-hour anxiety attack.
Thank you.
It says that right on
thank
there.
You it is because it's all about Uncut Gems and like a little Furby gem thing that Kevin Garnett has that he's got to get back and then make another deal and deal with two girlfriends. Like it's just a fucking calamity of errors over and over again.
High
and
speed,
like, I mean, any he makes you feel like you're part of his world.
Yeah, and it draws you in. It really
it does.
You do care about him for sure. Like the nonsense that they get up to. And then our final, which of course you couldn't have. I would argue, not even argue, I'd say it's the most well-known Adam Sandler movie, Happy Gilmore. So I have a thought though, and a question is like, is Happy Gilmore quite the movie for like the rest of the world that it is for Canadians? Because like, he's a hockey player, right? He's a goon. He's like a big, loud, aggressive hockey player. And so, like, we love that in Canada, right? Like, this is a movie for Canadians.
We make those kind of kids.
We are, yeah. Like, we breed those, like, angry, aggressive, like, boys who grow up playing hockey. So, like, do I have a mixed understanding?
Is this territorial?
Yeah, like, is this movie only so iconic because I'm Canadian? Or does the rest of the world think of this as the most iconic Adam Sandler movie as well?
Does someone in South Africa think?
Yeah, like when, like if you say to any Canadian, what's the most famous Adam Sandler movie? They're definitely going to say Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
But will the rest of the world say that? Or is it like just because it's hockey?
Well, and it.
Or I is mean, it hockey? Is it golf?
It's golf. It's golf, hockey adjacent. But yeah, no, I mean, I bet you it has a deeper root in places where hockey is a bigger thing, i.e. Canada.
Is it like in Canada and Russia and Sweden? If you say like, what's your favorite Adam Sandler movie? Everyone says Happy Gilmore. But like if you go somewhere else, they say Billy Madison?
Yeah. And see, that's the thing is that I think the big three should be up there. I think it's Happy Gilmore. I keep wanting to say Happy Madison. I think it's Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, and the Water Boy should be punting the longest yard.
Yeah.
I think the Water Boy is also sweet. I mean, it. You couldn't make it today either, right?
Yep.
Somewhat controversial, but like he was just, he wasn't being anything that he shouldn't have been. He was just an idiot.
Yeah.
But I mean, like it's the comedic version of Forrest Gump, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a little bit of that in there. But it's, and I mean, it just has so many quotable lines. It's got so many funny, just gut busting scenes that The Longest Yard is more of like a cool mainstream comedy where, The Water Boy, that's your bread and butter, dude. Like, I think that's a more rewatchable movie.
I wonder why it's not on there. Maybe it is just because it's like a little bit more.
Well, yeah, it would irk people.
Yeah, it would like rub people the wrong way. But I don't know. I mean, I was surprised, maybe not surprised by many of them, but I was glad to see Hotel Transylvania on there. I didn't think it would show up. I would have liked to see 8 Crazy Nights. I think that's a really fun movie.
I think that's too niche. I think that's like his spin at Christmas. I think it's too close to the Hanukkah stuff. Like, it's.
But I think that's, I don't know. It's, I, Well, yeah, you're probably right, but I enjoy it. I think that.
Oh yeah.
It feels like real and interesting and fun. So I really enjoyed that.
Listener, if you have an Adam Sandler movie you think there should be on this rewatch list, please leave a voicemail or comment on Spotify. There's a question and answer part there. Just put your thoughts there.
I forgot. I solicited some comments from some friends.
Oh, that's right, because we don't do this that often, so that's how we forget.
Yeah, I wanted to
What did our good fan base
say? My friend Mike said that Happy Gilmore is his favorite, but he's Canadian, so I feel like this
is
a true underdog story with an excellent balance of feel-good moments and offbeat comedy that is Adam Sandler plus the fist fight with Bob Barker, which is legendary.
Bob Barker would only do the movie if he got to punch him.
Yeah, which is, I mean, there you go.
That's how you make a deal.
My friend Kendall, not the first time we spoke about Kendall on this show, by the way. She's an artist. We talked about her when we're talking about AI art.
Yeah.
So she said she prefers his earlier stuff when his shtick was still interesting to watch and not formulaic in order to sell tickets, which I agree. You know, we talked about that off the top.
He's more rogue in the beginning. Yeah.
She did say, though, that... she did like Just Go With It, and they thought they had really good chemistry with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah,
and he does have the ability to be a serious actor. He's not afraid to challenge himself with rules, so he hasn't been typecast into one vaudevillian performer. He does have the capacity to show range, and hasn't really been recognized for it as much, but could be in the end. She thinks that the Adam Sandler movie that is the best is the one that resonates with you the most. So there you go.
Ooh, she's leaving that open.
Yeah,
I dig that
open.
Kendall. Wow. Deep thoughts. You should be on SNL.
My friend James said that his son Vance loves Pixels.
You know, and like there's also Switch, is it? With the remote
control?
Yeah,
with the remote. Oh, and then he said his favorite is Blended. Oh, we forgot about Blended.
We did forget. That's the one I'm thinking
That's
of.
That's the one you were thinking of with the family.
With the family, the Blended family.
Yep.
And there's also Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds. That movie is hilarious. That's like the grown-up version of Richie Rich.
It is.
Yep.
With Jonathan Turturro as the best butler in the history of
so
butlers.
Good. My friend Nicole said Happy Gilmore is the OG and you can fight me. She's on vacation. I think maybe she's being a little bit. She's a couple margaritas on the beach. She wants to fight. Gonzalo said that for years he believed that given the right material, Rob Schneider could have turned out a solidly dramatic role.
Oh, wow.
I disagree. And he said his friends are unanimously shut him down. But then he said he thinks Sandler is only as good as his co-stars.
Hip Hop Anonymous? Damn, you give him all the easy ones. He's only as good as his co-stars?
Only as good as his co-stars.
I think his co-stars are only as good as him.
This is Happy Gilmore and The Wedding Singer still hold up in 2024, which is amazing. Steve Buscemi was the only watchable part of Hubie Halloween.
Hubie.
And he's always the MVP of any Sandler movie. That's what Gonzalo says. So only as good as his co-stars, which actually... I mean, could track if you took the nice thing I said about Adam Sandler, like bringing his game up to match Emma Watson.
Yeah.
You could argue that the other way that like Emma Watson brought him up, right? Like he's
sure. Well, you're only as good as you play.
Only
off
as good
of,
as
right?
your yeah. co-star. So yeah. It could be. So that could be true. I'm not saying Gonzalo's wrong. I'm just saying maybe that was a glass half empty way of saying the glass half full thing I said earlier.
Yeah, no, I pick up what you're putting down. Gonzalo, I have the last word.
But
here,
he didn't know that I was going to say it, so he didn't steal it from me.
Oh, copy that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mike, Kendall, James, Nicole, and Gonzalo. You better follow the show now, because if you want to keep doing this, we're going to keep playing this with you. That being said, listener, that voicemail thing I was talking about, it's in the show notes, it's on our social media, it's everywhere, that you can leave your opinion on any said matters, on any of the things that me and Emily have discussed this week. We'd love to play it on the show. We're super friendly. We're not going to make you look like a fool, so don't be nervous. Don't be shy. You can comment all you want, but leaving a voicemail, we're going to feature you. We're going to shut the fuck up, and we're going to play it. And you're going to get to be heard on this podcast. Then you can be like, I was on a podcast once.
You can use that for the three fun facts about you at work that your boss makes you say all the time. I use it all the time.
Yeah. Like you could talk for like almost probably like, I think a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Like
that's a lot of time.
Two truths and a lie. One of your truths could be I was featured on a podcast.
Yeah. There you go. And they'll be like, no, you weren't. And you'll be like, here, listen to the episode. And then we'll get downloads and that'll be awesome. But yeah, if you want to support the show, easiest way to do so is to subscribe. You can do that in the show notes. You can do that whatever podcast player you're listening on. You've probably heard this 1,000 times from every other podcaster out there, but doing that for shows like us are what matter. So if you like what you heard, if you laughed at what you heard, give us a subscribe. If you want to support the show financially, there's always ways to do that. There is no pressure to do that. But if you want to buy our merch, we have a prop shop. We love to sell really cool shit. We have our masturbator line. We've got our Vote with Integrity shirt. We've got our logo shirts. It's all in Canada. If you're in Canada or wherever you are listening to this, you can buy it in Europe. You can buy it in the States. You can buy it in Canada. Super cheap shipping prices. We always got sales and stuff like that. So I'll shut up. But thank you for getting this far in the episode. Come see us if you're in Winnipeg. Come to any of those aforementioned dates that we talked about at the beginning of the show. We'd love to see you there. Come over and say hello. I got nothing else. I have been Michael.
And I continue to be Emily.
And we are Your Real Debaters, where the art of cinema meets the power of debate. See you next week, kids. Watch all the movies. Bye-bye.
Bye.
First question I wanted to ask you was simply, is there a story that you've gone into that at some point you said to yourself, I just can't do this anymore? And how did you push through?
I don't know that I've ever said I can't do this anymore. I've definitely had moments of, oh my God, is this going to work? Or how am I going to get through this? But I don't feel like I've ever fully given up on it. There are a lot of challenges in making documentaries, from, you know, pitching and getting rejected to raising the money, securing the distribution. Sometimes those are one and the same, sometimes they're not. And then, of course, making the film, trying to figure out the vision of the film, what is actually doable, the challenges around securing the interviews, doing the interviews. There's production, you know, mishaps that happen all the time.
So it's more the logistics of it than it is the story.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. But it's how you tell that story and just the challenges that present in the telling. And what, you know, I mean, there are challenges around what the visuals are and the archive and the if you have to do recreations, what those are going to look like. You know, there's always challenges, which, of course, is what I love about it. But they're not called challenges for nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. When making a documentary, you go in with a set of ideas, a story you want to tell. How often do you find yourself having to pivot and readjust and be like, there's a new story here. There's more than I anticipated, and now I have to include
always,
this.
Always? Always. I don't think I've ever gone into a film with a clear sense of what the story is without it shifting. I mean, that's not to say that in some cases the premise is the same and sort of the approach often, but then there'll be storylines that develop or a direction it takes me that I didn't anticipate. And I always try to be open to that. And I think it's part of what I love about making films is that, you know, there's this sensation of it kind of taking you on a ride, on a journey. And, you know, it's the same in the edit room, honestly. Like, I'll try to put music into a film and it will just like kick it out.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work, you know? And you have to sort of pay attention to that, and it's kind of instinctual on some level.
Well, and there's the idea that a lot of people assume, and we all know what happens when you assume, is that a documentary is factual, but you're still telling a story. You still have to have characters. You still have to have a storyboard. You still have to have an idea of where you're going.
Yeah. A beginning, middle, and an end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can win them in the third act.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, actually, I make films with my husband, and early on, he's a writer and producer, and a lot of the broadcasters and networks wouldn't allow him to have a writer credit because you're not supposed to write a documentary. Supposed to just happen. I don't know
ignorance.
What world you live in.
Yeah.
But it's not the world that is, you know, the world of actually making these films. Now there's all sorts of, you know, awards for writing and documentary and whatnot, but it's been an evolution.
My last question for you, I love Volcano. It was one of me and my wife were just gripped by it. It's such a heartbreaking story, and along with Boeing, there are families involved in these tragedies. Getting to know these people, how do you balance the story as well as representation of those families involved, right? If you're doing a documentary on a very blanketed XYZ thing and it's just telling a story versus, you know, lives are lost, people have died.
Yeah. Respectfully, you know, I don't know what else to say other than I really try to respect the people who I'm interviewing and talking to, and you know, not just treat them as characters for me in my film, but human beings who have, you know, often experienced very traumatic things that, and I try to keep an open heart, you know, and like with Volcano, we spent a lot of time in New Zealand building those relationships and engaging with them over a much longer period of time than I, you know, than like all the media outlets did,
yeah.
Right? And then, and it was not only in terms of like approaching them in the interviews and talking to them about what they're comfortable talking about, what they aren't, and trying to respect those lines, but then also in how the film came out. You know, we want to show the film to them before it's shown to other people. I flew back to New Zealand to share the film
wow.
in the community before it premiered on Netflix because I wanted them to see it and to have a communal experience. And we didn't invite press and we didn't invite the outside world, and it wasn't to forward us. It was really for the community.
It was a thank you. It was
yeah. So it's, you know, it's, I think it's action steps like that that help people understand that we're in it for the long term, and we're in it to really try to get to something meaningful in the story. And I'm happy to say that it I feel like everybody who participated in the Volcano was happy.
It was
that
gripping. We were glued to the television.
Thank you
for doing everything that you do and asking the tough questions and making all the things that you've made.
Thanks for watching.
Anytime. It was a pleasure meeting Aurora.
See ya.
See ya.
If you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.